You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, we are continuing on the engaging parents and adults in the process of child-centered play therapy. And last week we talked about why it's important to engage parents and our framework for doing so. But I'd like to dive in this week to what we do and how we actually meet with parents. So a little bit more into the structure of what those parent meetings look like, and not necessarily what they look like, but what they don't look like. I think that's more important sometimes than what we actually do, what we don't do. So we're going to dive into that. Before we do, a couple of housekeeping things. Thank you for those of you who have called in. I have gotten your messages, so I'm super excited that you all are taking advantage of the call-in number. So if you would like to reach out to me and ask me a question to cover on the podcast, you can call 813-812-5525, and that is for those who live in the States. For those of you international listeners, we're working on a number for you, but you can email me in the meantime, brenna@thekidcounselor.com. Secondly, and probably more excitingly, the CCPT Collective is ready. So what does that mean for you? If you are new to the podcast, welcome. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, let me explain really quickly. So I have had so many of you reach out and ask about support and collaboration and case consultation and supervision and hanging out with other child-centered play therapists and just feeling very isolated and lonely and wanting whatever level of support that you feel would best get you to the professional goals that you have. So therefore, the CCPT Collective was born, and we've been using it with the six-figure play therapist participants for the last 3 or 4 weeks just to kind of make sure that we've worked out all the kinks and bugs and we've gotten some feedback. So it is now ready for you all. So please visit CCPT Collective, as in the abbreviation for child-centered play therapy. So ccptcollective.com. And you can get signed up and you will be able to access the community. It has discussion boards, it has polls, it has a weekly Zoom call where we all get on and we talk about cases, we ask questions, we do video reviews. There's all kinds of things that happen on that weekly call. And it is designed with you all in mind, a community where you will feel supported and understood and heard, and you will be able to get the skills that you need as well as the encouragement that you need, because it's hard feeling lonely and isolated in this field. And child-centered play therapy can be just that. So the CCPT Collective is ready. So if you would like to join, I know many of you have been waiting and waiting and waiting to hear when it's ready to launch. So thank you for your patience, and go to ccptcollective.com so that you can get signed up and part of the community. Really looking forward to seeing y'all. And the Friday Zoom calls have been really, really awesome. So I'm hopeful that if you get signed up, you'll be able to join us on those Friday calls as well. All right. So back to parents and meetings. So here are my thoughts on what we need to do for making sure that the process is intentional and making sure that we know why and what we're doing. So number one, we have to make sure that we are setting up meetings on a schedule. And I mentioned it in last week's podcast. You know, you do your initial parent consultation before you begin working with the child. And then every 5 sessions after that, you do a 5-week consultation. That schedule is very important because it keeps you on track. It keeps the parents knowledgeable about when they're going to next meet with you. And it's enough time to give you a chance to see what's been happening in the playroom. But it's not too long to wait, and it's not too short to not really see any type of progress. So 5 weeks is the ideal time frame. And here are my thoughts on what you want to do and what you don't want to do. So number one, you want to make sure that these meetings are in person. And I know that everyone has gotten in the habit of virtual meetings, and you know, COVID comes through and everyone thinks that a Zoom meeting is just as effective as in person, and it's just not. and I unapologetically stand on that on that position. It's not the same thing. And we need to have a parent in a room with us, face to face with us, having an actual conversation about what's going on, because it does several things. Number one, there's buy-in from the parent. If they schedule a meeting and they come and they sit down with you, they're invested. And that's really important in this process. Next, you have to eliminate distractions. And when you schedule virtual meetings, they often go out to their car on their lunch break and they're sitting in their car while they're talking to you. Sometimes they're driving while they're talking to you. That's my favorite. There was sarcasm there. They are sometimes at home and their babies are crying. The dogs are barking. Someone's knocking on the door. The computer email is dinging and going off. And it's just so clear and evident that they are not able to be fully present. And I'm not saying that accusationally. I'm not saying that they don't want to be present. I'm just saying there are too many distractions. And look, let's go back to the wise words of Gary Landreth. If it's important, we need to make time for it, right? So this is important to parents that their child is in the play therapy process and they want them to be happy and healthy and they want them to work on their issues and their struggles. So if they're spending time and money and effort and energy in the whole process, they should probably make time for the meeting with you, because that's how they know what's going on. That's how they feel encouraged. That's how they're given tips and skills to use at home to better support the process. There needs to be investment. And the way that you ensure that is an in-person meeting. So you either want to make sure you have an in-person meeting or you want to make sure you don't schedule a virtual meeting. So either or. Okay, my next thought. The 5-week parent consultation process is designed to give parents a channel through which they communicate with you, but on an appropriate time schedule and in an appropriate method. So what I mean by that is you do not want weekly check-ins with parents. And I know many of you are jaw-dropped and eyes really big right now because so many of you do that. And that's been conditioned. If you work with kids, you have to do a weekly check-in with the parents. And so there's all of these mechanisms that therapists use for these weekly check-ins. So look, I completely disagree that you have to have a weekly check-in with a parent. And here's why. If you make it known and make it clear that every 5 weeks you're going to sit down and give them an entire hour, that's far more than the 2 or 3 minutes that you give them each week for a check-in. So the trade-off is much more in their favor to schedule an hour-long meeting with them, first of all. Second of all, here's how we typically do these weekly check-ins. We have this form that we have them fill out. So every time the parent shows up with the child for a session, we give the parent their little feedback form. And we say, you know, how did school go this week? And how was behavior this week? And anything you want me to know? And please rate your child's behavior in regulation, such, 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 such. There is nothing about that that is helpful. And I know that we've been told that it's important. And I know many of us do it. And I'm not trying to be negative about it, other than it's just not helpful. And here's why. You're basically forcing a parent to sit and reflectively think about every bad thing that has happened in the week. Why would you want to put a parent in that state of mind? You want a parent to consistently be looking forward to the hope and transformation that's coming in their child's behavior. You want them to constantly be seeking out the good. And when you have your 5-week consultation, you absolutely focus on the good and the growth and the healing and the change. And so to have them do a weekly check-in and force them to recall everything that happened that they don't really want to talk about, they don't really want to report on, but they feel they have to be thorough, so they're going to tell you every bad thing that happened, it just puts them in a really negative mindset. And secondly, you don't want them to feel that they have to give you every tiny little problem that has happened in the week. I don't want to hear it. You shouldn't either. Because the goal is that parents are bought in enough to the process that they are patient and they understand that things take time. And over time, things get better. It's not an immediate overnight quick fix, but over time, reflectively, parents go, huh, that actually has gotten better. But it's a process. And so when we do these weekly check-ins, it just puts them in a really negative state of mind. And I think it's completely ineffective. Another thing that we do is if it's a 50-minute therapeutic hour, we give the child 40 or 45 minutes, and then we meet with the parents for 5 or 10 minutes. I hope this is diplomatic enough, but that is a terrible idea. And here's why. Your therapeutic relationship is with the child. Your allegiance, your camaraderie, your buy-in, your trust, your rapport, everything is with the child. And the child needs to feel that when they come to see you, it's their time and you are there for them. And you don't have split allegiance. So when you play with a kid and then you make the child sit in the lobby while you talk to mom or dad behind closed doors, what message does that send to your child, your client? We're talking about you behind your back and we're making you sit out there while we do it. It's awful. And I'm sorry I'm a little bit emphatic about this, but it actually makes me mad. Like everything about the child-centered model is the anti meet with a parent while the child sits in the lobby and wait approach. So we should never, ever make a child feel that we are on mom or dad's side and we're talking about them and they can give us all of the bad things that have happened this week while the child waits for the conversation to be over. Never. So the way that we get around that is we make it clear that we have expectations and boundaries of how we're going to communicate with parents. So that's my thought number three. Every 5 weeks we'll meet. So the very first time that you meet with them, you help them understand the process. So after I play with your child for 5 sessions, we'll schedule an hour-long parent consultation and we'll sit down and we'll be able to discuss everything. I can give you updates. You give me updates. We're able to process what's going on. I'll help you understand what's happening in the playroom. And then we'll decide if we're ready to do another round of 5. So if that is set as an expectation from the very beginning, you will not get random emails from parents. You will not get random texts from parents. You will not get random phone calls from parents. And worst of all, best of all, it's a 50-50 mixed bag. Worst of all, meaning you do not want this, but best of all, it won't happen if you set that expectation. You don't want a parent pulling you aside in the lobby and saying, "Can I just talk to you for like a quick 30 seconds? I really have to give you an update. Can I just tell you what happened at school today? I just need to fill you in on the meltdown that happened last night. I just need to let you know that dad said this and now he's really upset." No, never. Absolute on purpose, never does a parent get your ear in the lobby in front of the child. Never. And the way that you get around that is you make it very clear that you only communicate with parents in the 5-week parent consultation. Now, I can already hear you all. Some of you are going, "Yes, but Brenna, there's no way that a parent is going to bring their child 5 times and have no idea what's going on. And that feels like they have no way to talk with you. And they are not going to be feeling like you are wanting to hear from them what's going on." Here's what you say. If there is something urgent that I absolutely have to know in between our 5-week meetings, you can email me or text me, but we will not discuss it in person when you come for sessions. So now there's a channel, right? Now you've made it clear if you absolutely have to share something with me, you have a method to do so, but it will not be in conversation during session time. And here's the beauty of that. If you tell people, if you absolutely have to email me that it's so urgent that you absolutely cannot wait till the 5-week meeting, it's amazing that people filter what they feel is, quote, necessary differently. Is this really something I need to sit down and write an email about? Usually not. And by the time you get to the 5-week meeting, they've forgotten all about what they would have told you in the lobby and it doesn't even come up. So it really does actually vet what is warranted to discuss, quote, immediately. And that makes your life and job easier because you don't need to hear daily, weekly status updates. So these mechanisms are the way that we, above all, preserve the relationship with our child. Because that is the number one goal. You are the most important thing to me. I'm here. I hear you. I understand. I care. I delight in you. My rapport is with you. My relationship with you. You've established a bond and trust with me. I will do everything in my power to make sure that you don't feel that that gets broken. And mom and dad are along for this journey, but you are my priority. Now, we absolutely prioritize parents. I don't want to give off the incorrect assumption. Parents are a huge piece of this. We talked about that last week. Engaging them in the process makes the outcomes better. So of course we want to engage parents and we cater to parents, but we do it differently. We don't do it to the detriment of our relationship with the kids. So it's very, very important that we make sure that we have a system in place, we have a structure, we let parents know what that is, and we don't deviate. So when a parent is pushing really, really hard to drag you aside and have a conversation with you in the lobby, you remind them gently of the expectation. You really want to tell me this. You're absolutely welcome to shoot me an email or a text, but unfortunately, I'm not able to have this conversation with you in the lobby, but we can discuss this at the 5-week consultation that's coming up. That's it. Because the child has to hear and see and witness you prioritizing the child and that your relationship is preserved because of the actions that you take with parents. Because in every other scenario, the adults that want to talk to that kid's parents about their behavior, it's negative. And the kid usually gets in trouble and the kid feels guilty and they feel ganged up on. And all the adults are talking about the child in front of the child as if they're not sitting there and if they can't hear it and if they're not internalizing all of those negative things, self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Pygmalion effect, right? If you have no idea what those are, please go back and listen to earlier episodes. Start at episode one, you'll get caught up. But, you know, we cannot let that be the message that we send to our kids. So if we have these meetings with parents with a structure, it will help make sure that parents are happy, kids are happy, and the process goes as smoothly as it possibly can. So I hope you find that helpful. And we're going to continue in the talking with parents and adults in the child's life in this section of the content. So I'm hoping that you all find this helpful and that it actually changes some of your practice of the way that you are communicating with parents, because it really does change the entire dynamic for the better. So hope that you can see the value in that. All right, y'all. So ccptcollective.com, please go get signed up. I would love to have you in there and on the call this week and getting to know you a little bit more personally in the collective. And it's just fun. It's been really, really fun to see the exchange and the support. People are posting wins and people are posting questions and talking about the different environments in which they work. And we're talking about cases, and it's just been really supportive and such a good experience. So I'm really looking forward to having y'all in there. Again, you can email me, brenna@thekidcounselor.com. Or you can call 813-812-5525. Love y'all. Talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.